The Poem of the Man God. Revelation to Maria Vortorta. Volume 1. Part 8. The first year of public life, continued. Jesus says,
"After this vision you will put the one I gave you in spring 1994, the one in which I asked my mother her impression, on the apostles. By now their moral characters are sufficiently clear to allow that vision to be put here without scandalizing anybody. I did not need anybody's advice. However, when we were alone, because the disciples were scattered among friendly families or in nearby villages, when I stopped in Nazareth, how pleasant it was to speak to and ask advice of my kind friend. That is, my mother. And have confirmation from her graceful wise lips of what I had already seen. I have never been anything but her son with her. And among those born of woman, there was never a mother more mother than she, in all the perfection of human and moral motherly virtues. Neither was there a son more son than I with regard to respect, confidence, and love. And now that you also have had at least a little knowledge of the 12, of their virtues, faults, characters, and struggles, is there still anyone who believes that it was an easy task for me to keep them together, elevate, and perfect them? And is there still anyone who considers the life of an apostle to be easy, and that to be an apostle, or, as very often the case, to consider oneself such, one is entitled to a smooth life, free from sorrows, contrasts, and defeats? Is there still anybody who, only because he serves me to be his servant, and to work miracles uninterruptedly in his favor, making his life as beautiful as a flowery carpet, easy and glorious from a human point of view? My way, my work, my service is the cross, sorrow, abnegation, and sacrifice. I did that. Let those who say that they are my friends do the same. The above is not for the Johns, but for the discontented and difficult doctors. And also for doctors of captious objections I say that I made use of the words uncle and aunt, which are unusual in Palestinian languages, to clarify and settle a disrespectful question concerning my condition of only begotten son of Mary and the virginity of my mother pre and postpartum. She in fact had me through spiritual divine union. And let me repeat it once again, she knew no other union, neither did she give birth to any other child. Inviolate flesh, which even I did not rend, closed on the mystery of a tabernacle womb, the throne of the Trinity, and of the incarnate Word."
101. Jesus questions his mother about his disciples. The evening of February 13, 1944. About 2 hours after the previous vision, I now see the house of Nazareth. I recognize the room of the farewell, open onto the little kitchen garden, where the plants are all covered with leaves. Jesus is with Mary. They are sitting beside each other in the stone bench set against the wall. It looks as if they have already had their supper, and that mother and son are taking delight in a sweet conversation, while the others have already withdrawn, if there are other people, as I do not see anybody. My internal voice informs me that it is one of the first times that Jesus goes back to Nazareth after his baptism, his fasting in the desert, and above all, after the formation of the Apostolic College. He tells his mother of his days of evangelization, and the first hearts he conquered. Mary is hanging on the words of her Jesus. Mary is thinner and paler, as if she had suffered during this period of time. Two dark shadows have formed under her eyes, as if she had been crying and worrying a great deal. But now she is happy and smiling. She smiles, caressing her Jesus's hand. She is happy to have him there, talking heart to heart with him in the silence of the oncoming evening. It must be summer time, because the fig tree already has its first ripe fruits, which stretch out as far as the house. And Jesus, standing up, picks some and gives the best ones to his mother, peeling them carefully, and offering them in the crown of skins pulled down inside out, as if they were white buds streaked in red, amidst corolla of petals white inside and violet outside. He offers them in the palm of his hand and smiles, seeing that his mother relishes them. Then he asks her point blank,
"Mother, have you seen the disciples? What do you think of them?"
Mary, who is about to put a third fig to her mouth, starts, withholds her hand, lifts her head and looks at Jesus.
What do you think of them, now that I have shown them all to you?
Urges Jesus.
I think that they love you, and that you will get much out of them. Love John, as you know how to love. He is an angel. I do not worry when I think that he is with you. Peter also is good. Somewhat harder, because he is older, but sincere and convinced. And his brother too. They love you as best as they can, just now. Later, they will love you more. Also our cousins, now that they are convinced, will be faithful to you. But the man from Kerroth, I do not like him, son. His eyes are not crystal clear and his heart is even less so. He frightens me.
He is full of respect for you.
Too much respect. He is full of respect also for you. But not for you the master, for you the future king, from whom he hopes to receive wealth and glory. He was a nobody, just a little more than the others at Kerroth. He hopes to play an important role at your side, and... Oh, Jesus. I do not want to be uncharitable, but I think, even if I do not want to believe it, that in case you should disappoint him, he will not hesitate to take your place or endeavor to do so. He is ambitious, greedy and vicious. He is more suitable to be the courtier of a worldly king than your apostle, my son. He frightens me.
And the mother looks at Jesus with two eyes full of dismay in her pale face. Jesus sighs. He ponders. He looks at his mother. He smiles to encourage her.
Also that is needed, mother. If it were not he, it would be someone else. My college must represent the world, and in the world they are not all angels, neither are they all of the same character as Peter and Andrew. If I chose everything perfect, how could the poor diseased souls dare hope to become my disciples? I have come to save what is lost, mother. John is saved, as he is. But how many are not?
I am not afraid of Matthew. He redeemed himself because he wanted to. He forsook his sin and his customs desk, and acquired a new soul to come with you. But Judas of Kerroth did not. On the contrary, pride is becoming more and more the master of his ugly old soul. But you already know that, son. Why do you ask me? I can but pray and cry for you. You are the master also of your poor mother.
The vision ends here.